Good morning, everyone. This is Nora Abu Sitta. I'm a Vice President of Development Public Responsibility Department at ICANN. I'd like to start with welcoming you all to our session. I know it's early for a lot of you. I did walk through the lobby yesterday at midnight, and there were a lot of people there, so I didn't expect this room to be full this morning. I'm quite impressed. We have about 20 remote participants as well, so I welcome them too, and good morning or good evening, wherever you are. The purpose of this session is really to do two things. One, to give an overview of the department, especially a year after we established it, and two, to link the department's work with a lot of the regional strategies and a lot of the engagement work that our regional offices are doing around the world. In order to do that, we're going to take a quick look at the department's role in the internet ecosystem. Why is this department so important for ICANN, and in a broader view in the ecosystem of the internet? We will go through our current work and achievements, and then hopefully towards the end we will have an open discussion about what you as a community have seen has worked, what you'd like to see improved, and perhaps even get some insight on what we need to focus on in the next year. So just a quick recap of where this department came from. About a year ago, we started the panel on public responsibility framework. It was chaired by Nick Quaynor, and it had a group of community leaders that from very different backgrounds that really worked very hard on a few things, the first of which being to define ICANN's public interest, to look at the current work that ICANN is doing in terms of development and public responsibility, and to give recommendations on next steps. As a result of this panel, we established the department to focus on four main areas. Now, before we talk about the four areas of focus, I will touch a little bit on the idea of public interest. So as I said earlier, one of the main things that the panel was tasked to do was to define public interest and to see what ICANN can do to serve the public interest. But it quickly became clear that the term public interest is extremely broad, and that you cannot task a department, an operational department, to be responsible for anything that could fall under public interest. In fact, everything that ICANN does is in the interest of the public. And so one of the first recommendations of the panel was to really redirect focus or zoom in a little bit and identify public responsibility areas rather than public interest areas, so that we could have very clear deliverables and measurable deliverables for the department. So the purpose of the DPRD, or the Department of Development Public Responsibility, is two things. One, we are trying to streamline and formalize a lot of the development public responsibility work that we are doing at ICANN in collaboration with our regional teams. And the second thing is really to facilitate, encourage, and empower the community to participate better and more in the ICANN ecosystem. So the focus areas were really drawn from the regional strategies. We took a look at all the regional strategies. We tried to find what they had in common, and we realized that they all really focus on four main areas. One, that the community needs education in order to participate properly. The community needs to be able to understand what we're doing, and so we have to deliver the most important parts of our content to them in at least the six UN languages. We have to do a better job at engaging younger generations, because ultimately we hope that they will be the active participants in ICANN. And then finally, we have to be active in a topic that's becoming more and more visible lately, which is internet governance. So how do we do this work? Like I said before, the first step that we did was to do an inventory of existing work and focus on the four areas. And the four areas are literally delivered through our regional VPs and through our regional representatives. The other way we do the work is through ICANN departments. And then the third way we do the work is in collaboration with third parties or other organizations that work with us in the internet ecosystem. So to start with, I'd like to ask Tariq to tell us a little bit about using the DPRD as an entry point to a lot of the developing countries and what the best way to access them is through the four focus areas that we've identified. Tariq.
Thank you very much, Noura. Good morning, everybody. I'm delighted to participate for the second time in this public responsibility session. The first time we were in London, I guess, where we were together with some of the regional vice president as well as Noura and part of her department. Indeed, as she has mentioned, public responsibility is part of ICANN's bylaws. It's an overall public interest. It's an umbrella for the work that ICANN is doing in order to have one resilient and stable and trustworthy internet. But it became also clear during our outreach that we started around 2 years ago, specifically in the underserved area and the developing countries, that we need to have special programs that are dedicated to engagement and outreach in the underserved area and the developing countries in order, A, to raise awareness, B, to make them part of ICANN's constituencies and participate, whether in the GAC for government engagement or other stakeholders like the GNSO and the CCNSOs and other supporting organizations and stakeholders organization and ACs in ICANN. This is the only way that we will really empower the organization and achieve globalization, because without the participation of the rest of the world, we will be currently under the assumption that this organization is only limited to a certain group of countries that have the know-how, although it is open, remote access is available, that have the know-how as such. And we also realized that because the main business of ICANN is related to DNS, as such as the stewardship of the overall DNS domain and the root servers, that the main challenge really is to develop the industry of the DNS in developing countries with the support of the global players, as well as with the support of the governments, as well as with the support of the private sector and the support of other ISTARs organization that we cooperate with. Because simply when we think about a government official, why to come to the GAC three times a year, he needs to represent an interest of a certain community within his country, even as a government representative. CCTLDs are in every country almost, but GTLD players and registrars are not necessarily all over the world in an acceptable, fairly distribution. If we add to that the next billion users that are being added to the internet are coming from the developing world, then we have double responsibility, actually. Simply because if we don't develop this industry there while the growth is going to happen, then there will be definitely a setback. So we started with the development with the regional strategy together with Sally Costerton and the team, the African strategy, and then the Latin American strategy and the Middle East strategy, as well as there were engagement plans, very ambitious engagement plans within the other regions like Asia and Europe and other places of the world. By time, we started to realize that we need to link that to the public responsibility department and public responsibility activities as such. The regional vice presidents, as they will kindly talk afterwards, are doing the work on the ground. But at the end, we need to reflect that back within the overall mission of ICANN, which is public responsibility in a collective way, and to make sure that it really translates our commitment towards public responsibility, which is public and part of public interest, towards the global community. Definitely, governments have also a role, special role to play in the developing countries, because in many cases they are the catalyst for development. We don't have yet developed stakeholders in the civil society and the private sector, but our only entrance is through the government. So we try also to link this work to government engagement in order to motivate the governments to participate in the development activity, capacity building that we are doing in underserved areas as such, in order really to stimulate the interest of the DNS industry and creating the right stakeholders in the government. From an internet, overall internet ecosystem point of view, as Noura was saying, where all this is going, it should hopefully at the end translate on having on a national level healthy internet governance structures that are there, multi-stakeholder, in order to help the community there to govern the internet on a national level and be easier within the global ecosystem. That's easily said, definitely more difficult to achieve, but we work together with our regional vice president in order to try to help the national countries achieve that, not alone as ICANN, but as one of the players within the overall community. And this is another public interest, global public interest, as well as national public interest goal in our opinion. So we try to framework in a way that really reflects the commitment of the organization as well as FADI and the board towards working in global public interest, because the stability of root servers is happening. Nobody is doubting that. The IP addressing and the RIRs is going straight forward. Nobody is doubting that. Protocol parameters are also stable. Nobody is doubting that. But we have an issue of underrepresentation of many countries in underserved area. With this, I will stop here and I will give back to Noura the floor.
Thank you, Tarek. Extremely helpful and extremely insightful, because it's we do get asked this question very often. Why a department now? Why are you pushing more for actively engaging with communities so that they can participate better? And I think we all agree that the focus areas that we've identified are not all, but very important and entry points to the communities around the world. Now, I wanted to share with you a little bit of detail about our current work before I ask the regional representatives to share their experience with us. But I'm sure you're all very familiar with our Localization Language Service Department. It has been extremely active in the past few years. We see it as our responsibility to deliver content to you in as many languages as realistically we can. I wanted to really give you a snapshot of the work that we're doing. Our work has grown tremendously in the past year, and this is a good indication. We have interpreted 90 sessions in the past meeting that was in London, the demand is growing. Of course, we get requests to expand our languages. Everybody who looks at language services needs to realize that this is a very costly endeavor, definitely well worth it, but the expectations have to be very realistic. Within the language services department, we try and engage with the community at least once a year, either through a focus group or a discussion group with the community to see how we can improve the service if the service is useful for them. So this afternoon, actually, we have a meeting for the language service focus group that has been working for the past few months on examining the ICANN website and advising on the best next steps for the ICANN website in light of translation and localization. The second focus area I wanted to give you a snapshot on is education. The online learning platform is almost a year old, maybe a little bit more. It's run by Jeff Dunn here, who I'm sure you've all met. It has been extremely successful. Really, the success is a result of engagement with the community, and we hope the community will participate more in it because we rely on the community to give us the content or to ask for specific needs. So we call on the regions to say where they feel they are weakest in terms of information or education, and we either curate content for them or create content that serves them. Currently, we have about 900 active users a month. They access about 9,000 sessions monthly, and I hope that this is just a start. Again, the success of this endeavor really relies on the community, whether they give us content or they ask for content. This is how this platform is growing. The next focus area is next generation. I'm sure some of our next generation folks are here, and we should welcome them. This is a project that we started 3 ICANN meetings ago. It's very, very successful. I think our ICANN veterans love to see the young people engaged with them, and I think it's an eye-opener for you know, our students, our young people, to see how it all works. So this is so successful that for the next ICANN meeting, we have around 350 applicants. Not what we had planned for. I mean, this is a great story of success, but definitely it reflects interest and need for the youth to participate in ICANN. So we look at the next generation as an entry point for youth into the ICANN world. Followed by that, we have the fellowship program, which is a very successful program. And later, I'm going to ask our regional representatives who have had experience with the fellowship program to share their experience with us. And of course, there's the newcomer program, which has about 200 participants at every ICANN meeting. The last area of concentration or the focus for this department in the past year has been participation in the global internet cooperation development. We were very active in Net Mundial Brazil. We were also very active with the panel on global internet cooperation and governance mechanisms, which was called the ILVES panel. We had the meeting with partners in Geneva, and we're currently working with academic and international organizations to activate dialogue, to participate in the dialogue on internet governance and next steps with regards to that. Again, ICANN's participation in those dialogues basically ensures that whatever happens next in the IG world will create, hopefully, a healthy environment for ICANN to thrive. So thank you for the patience of our regional representatives. I'm going to ask you to share your experiences with us. And if we can start with Rodrigo de la Parra.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Nora, and good morning, everybody. It's a real pleasure to be here with you to talk about this, this department, this new department created in ICANN that has been put in place to support all of the community work. And first of all, I have to say that I think it's a very good idea to link all the activities of this program to the regional strategies. And this is for two main reasons. The first reason is that the regional strategies were built on a bottom-up, community-based approach. So this is, the regional strategies are not work that we grow in ICANN staff as a top-down strategy. So they are really, you know, they are hearing the needs of the community. So this is one special point. And the other thing is how these regional strategies were built. And in all cases, they were trying to link all of, or to align all of their projects and objectives to the ICANN main strategy, which is, of course, built up, as you could see from Fadi's presentation in the opening ceremony, through a very robust process that includes as well the participation from all the community. So, and this is important because it helps this work to be aligned with ICANN's remit. Right? Because when you hear the word development and public responsibility, you may think, well, perhaps the ICANN people are going to try to do something else. Also, Fadi made this very clear, we're not trying to do that. So by linking them to the regional strategies, we're also making sure that this does not go beyond ICANN remit. And now, we are in Latin America and the Caribbean, our community is a heavy user of the services provided by this department, and we are very happy with it, and we're happy that actually they're linked all of these together, because it makes a lot of sense. So first of all, we as a region, we are pretty much a very homogeneous region, in the sense that we have many countries and most of them will speak Spanish, but at the same time we are also very diverse. So we have French, we have Portuguese, of course, but what can be said in truth is that we have only 1% or something like that of English speaking people in Latin America and the Caribbean, which is of course the most widely used service in ICANN. So if we really want our stakeholders to become engaged in ICANN processes, there's a very heavy work that is done, of course, with our language services. And we work with them very closely. We're actually like partners, and everybody knows each other, so it's really nice. And, well, it's like a family. We know the nice part of the people, and we know something else. but this helps us. I mean, I know the interpreters, even if they don't say the names for the records of the people, they will know in advance who's talking, and sometimes they know what I'm going to say. I am sure about that. Well, just that. Of course, we have our team takes part of the focuses groups. In that, we have Rodrigo Saucedo. He's a new guy from our team. He's based in Bolivia, and he's helping this work. Also, in the online platform, there are a couple of courses that have been proposed by different stakeholder groups coming from this region. One of them, of course, is that put forward by the LAC RALO, and it's having a lot of participation from many, including participants from English-speaking countries. So this is great. Another important feature, which is about supporting the next generation of ICANN, I have to say that, as you know, the Global Stakeholder Engagement Team has expanded around the world. In Latin America, we are now 5. So I am between Mexico and Montevideo. You know, our engagement center is in Montevideo in Uruguay. We have one full-time person in Montevideo, Alex Dan, and she's taking care of our communications, regional communications. We also have Daniel Fink. He's based in Sao Paulo in Brazil. We have Dalbert Daniels, who is based in St. Lucia in the Caribbean. And we have Rodrigo Saucedo, who is based in Bolivia. And out of these 5 people working in Latin America, 3 of them, we are all fellows. So we have become acquainted with ICANN through the fellowship program, and a long time ago, we used to be Next Generation. Back then it was not called Next Generation, but we want to call ourselves Next Generation now. Sounds better, but we're not anymore. But we are involved and engaged with ICANN, and this was a great opportunity to show, and it is a great opportunity to show all of the opportunities that can be followed by the own fellows. And finally, just to highlight that in the participation in global internet cooperation and development, we heard about the Net Mundial, and the Net Mundial was an important event that happened also in the Latin America and the Caribbean region, in which our team had the opportunity also of helping this global process. And I think I can stop here, but Thank you very much, Nora.
Thank you, Rodrigo. Interesting. I think the partnership with your region has been, one of the most successful ones, because you have a very active team. So I congratulate you on that. I think we have Fahad Bataine on the line. He is in Jordan right now, but I'm glad. I hope it's not too late for you, Fahad. Can you hear us?
Good morning, Noura. Good morning, everybody. Actually, I'm in Dubai at the moment, and it's 8 p.m., so it's all good.
Oh, good. So, Fahad, if you can share some of your experiences with us in the MENA region, Middle East and North Africa region, about your engagement in general, and also some of the highlights of how this department has facilitated, or how it could facilitate more of your work.
Okay, thank you, Noura. So, good morning, everybody, again. This is Fahad Bataine. I'm actually based in Amman, Jordan. I joined ICANN a little bit more than 1 year ago. Before that, I was actually an ICANN community member, and I can tell you that being a community member is completely different than being an ICANN staff member. So, within my region, my region speaks English, Arabic, and French. But frankly speaking, I don't speak French, so we leave French coverage to our colleagues from the Africa team. We do translate more content into Arabic, since we felt that community members within our community feel more comfortable using Arabic, and actually we did see signs of appreciation actually using Arabic. We do send out messages in Arabic and in English on our mailing lists. We just reactivated the ICANN Arabic Twitter account, and we keep pushing announcements through that. Now, in terms of education, we are talking to people about the ICANN Learn platform. I personally received a couple of questions which I could answer. But unfortunately, there is not much uptake from our region on the platform. I'm actually working with Jeff Dunn to do some education outreach during the ICANN meeting in Marrakesh. While Marrakesh is in Africa, it's also an Arab state that actually speaks Arabic, so we are helping Jeff on that. We do lecture a lot about ICANN and internet governance in both English and Arabic, and when I say we, I mean myself and my colleague Bahar Asmat, who's the vice president for the region. We have been receiving a good number of requests from within our region to actually educate stakeholders on what ICANN does and what is internet governance. We do have material that is tailored for 30-minute presentations, for two-hour presentations, and even four-hour presentations. And what makes it even more exciting is that sometimes we get requests to actually deliver these sessions in Arabic, and that is good. There is some interest from within the region on such issues, and it's really, it's really good to know that. We just concluded a Middle East and adjoining countries school on internet governance, so probably many of you know about the summer school on internet governance that happens in Germany every year. We have our own version. The first edition happened in Kuwait in late May. It was a five-day event. It attracted 25 students from more than 10 countries within the region. It's received a lot of positive feedback, and we are actually looking forward to the next edition of this school. Now, in terms of supporting the next generation program, Noura gave some good numbers, 250 applications. I believe for the ICANN Marrakesh meeting, it just I checked around 1 week ago, and it was more than 100 applications, and that is good. I personally have been pushing through the various mailing lists and social media accounts to actually encourage youth to actually apply to this program. I personally like working with youth. It's really interesting to actually work with them and listen to their thoughts and all. I'm working on the next generation program for the next ICANN meeting in Marrakesh with both Jeff Dunn and my colleague Philip Johnson, who's my friend Philip Johnson, who's based in Africa. Now, in terms of the fellowship program, I mean, Rodrigo, my colleague Rodrigo, proudly said that he was part of the fellowship program, and two other team members within the LAC team are actually fellowship alumni. I personally am proud to say that I, too, am a graduate of the fellowship program. I did my first ICANN meeting back in June 2008, and that was in Paris, and I was with the fellowship program. I later on attended 12 ICANN meetings, and last year I joined ICANN as a staff member. So, yes, this is an amazing program. I personally talk a lot about the fellowship program because it's really close to my heart. Statistics, the ICANN LA meeting was by far the largest meeting in terms of receiving fellowship applications. We received, I think, more than 350 applications, 24% of which were actually from this very region. So that is really nice. And actually, for the Marrakesh meeting, even though the fellowship program results haven't been announced yet, again, this time we received almost 25% of the applications from within the MENA region. And that's it for me, actually. Thank you.
Thank you, Fahad. It's really great to see that there is a great interest from the MENA region in participating actively in ICANN. And it makes us all very proud to see that, you know, many of our colleagues are really the product of our engagement or ICANN's engagement with communities. I have a question for you, Fahad. You had mentioned that in your region the online learning platform is not very popular. Do you think that it's a cultural thing about, you know, how people perceive education and, you know, in a classical classroom way versus online way? Or do you think we need to customize content better in order to serve that region better?
Okay, so that's a good question. And actually, I think one of the main issues why the platform is not well utilized is that those who actually take these courses do not receive certificates upon completion. I mean, I've been dealing with the IT industry for quite some time now, for almost 10 years, and I can tell you that people are savvy for certificates. So it's just that they would like to see a certificate of completion upon, once they complete the course. So maybe one way we might want to investigate is to actually provide certificates to those who actually use the online platform. Another issue is that I think people are not prefer classrooms where there is an instructor, there are labs, and there are, I mean, people who could help you taking, I mean, learning such courses. So, I mean, that's my two cents, really, and I've actually heard some of this feedback from people that I've discussed. So, yeah, it would be nice to have a tutor, or maybe it would be nice to have a certificate upon completion.
Thank you, Fahad. And actually, I think we see this in many of the tracks that we focus on, that the local consumption of the service varies greatly depending on cultural expectations. And so whereas some regions like to take a course, an open course online that doesn't automatically give you certification or diplomas or whatever, others feel like, you know, they need to see something concrete at the end of a completion of a course. One last point about engagement with the MENA region is that, as I said before, many times we do collaborate with third parties or other organizations in the ecosystem on projects that benefit everybody. And one of the projects that we're doing, and it was led by Baher, our VP for MENA, who's not here right now, but he might join us later, is a collaboration with ISOC and UNESCO to develop terminology for internet governance terms in Arabic, because, as you know, this is a relatively new field for the MENA region, and we realized that the terminology hasn't really been developed or localized enough. And Sausan, who is our head language expert for Arabic, is participating in that project as an ICANN expert, so that, you know, we can come up with the best results. So moving on to Europe, we have Andrea from our Europe office who can share his experience with us. Andrea.
Thank you, Nora. Thank you, everybody. And apologies for the people standing behind me. I feel really strange in giving my back. But the shape of the room doesn't let me really have much choice. So let me talk you through some of the initiatives that we do in Europe. But first of all, I would like to stress my full agreement with the points that Tarek made and Nora made before about the importance of this program in this department in ICANN to basically enlarge the base of participation within ICANN. So I come from a region, Europe, which is probably after the US the most developed in terms of internet industry and ecosystem and presence. But despite that, when you look at the numbers of people that effectively participate into ICANN, it's very low. And not only it's very low, but it's not renewing. It's actually is aging. So, like myself, although I keep my hair long to, in a way, to hide that I'm aging too, but I've been seeing the same people in Europe be engaged in ICANN for the past 10 years, more or less. So, starting from this assumption, the fact that ICANN has a global remit, it really implies that it has a global mandate and task to include and to reach out to the most people possible at all levels. So there is an effort in including developing countries, but also in developed economies, there is a big effort in enlarging the base of participation and making people aware that the internet doesn't exist by itself, and there is great possibility to engage and participate into that. Now, having said that, let me start just with a few points. So on localization and language services. Well, Europe has, I think, 23 official languages. I was reading recently that the budget of the EU to translate all the documents into 23 languages is about 330 million per year. It's actually 60 cents per year that each European citizen pays. So I cannot cope with that. I mean, I think we'll be out of business now. but that just gives you an idea of the challenge. Now, myself and Jean-Jacques, we cover, in, I think, 7 languages among the two. So we try to use them. And every time that we go around, we try to engage people in other languages. But more than that, we figure out how important was also in Europe, where you assume that the knowledge of English is much more common. It's important to do effort and localize content. So we had, I think we did some. I personally translated, I started translating documents in French that weren't readily available, and I put myself into that. Jean-Jacques did the same in German. And we could really see the difference on how much you could actually reach out much easily to the local community. So we participated in the focus group that the department has launched to see how to improve or to foster the multilingual aspect of ICANN. I think it's an extremely important aspect of the engagement. It looks technical, it looks expensive, but it really makes a huge difference at the engagement level. On the education side, I think is the most interesting part, at least how I see it, because it's really where you reach out for the new blood in ICANN, both at the technical level, but also at the governance and the model level, particularly in this moment where ICANN is growing, is venturing into a new era, and needs to figure out a new model of accountability, transparency, and it's very interesting to see how universities actually start looking at ICANN with the academic interest. Just to give you an anecdote, I was invited by my alumni organization from the master that I did in Spain years ago to address some students that were coming from Spain to Brussels to meet other alumni working in the European institutions. So I started my presentation just giving like a really general explanation, what is the internet, what is ICANN? And suddenly I see people looking at me like that. I was like, oh, wow, what is wrong? And then suddenly, as soon as I said I'm working for ICANN, people said, yeah, we know ICANN, we studied at school. And I was like, really, you studied at school? not even experienced lobbyists, policymakers in Brussels had the same awareness of what ICANN was that these students. And I was very surprised, and I was like, oh, wow, so you studied at school. And actually, yes, there is huge interest, and I've been personally invited to give presentation on ICANN, on internet governance, what it does. So this engagement continues. I've been addressing universities in Brussels, in Spain, in Italy several times. And every time that I go, actually, I go and visit and engage for other reasons, I always try to make a stop to the universities and try to really reach out and go and see, send emails to some professors working on media and communication and say, I'm coming to town, do you need, would you like to address your students on this? And the interest is extremely very high. Now, another interesting point that you raised, actually, you have live experiences of that. As you may know, job growth in Europe is plunging years by year. No? And so Europe is, since 2008, is in a downward slope, and the economy is. So students, there is a huge amount of students that are looking for new opportunities. For if you want to be a lawyer in Italy, for instance, you're welcome to join an army of thousands of lawyers. You know, I'm unemployed. So I'm starting to figure now that a lot of younger generation, they also see the opportunity of this field as a future working environment. I mean, the internet is the only sector that is actually booming despite the global economic crisis. And I actually, not an anecdote, not long ago, a big telco in Europe that started being engaged into internet governance was asking, what do we recruit people that knows about internet governance? So they were asking me because, you know, well, ICANN is part of the internet governance. Maybe you have special recruiters, so you go to specific universities. And I was like, that's a good question. I don't know. I think we should not underestimate also this side of our work and how we can contribute into that. So that's about education. And we have been participating since 2 years, because I've been working for 2 years in ICANN, but even before, to the Summer School of Internet Governance that happens every year in Messen in Germany. It's like one of the first, I think if I'm not wrong, it's the first school of internet governance. And every year we go there and we present, we give. It's a week long, it's an amazing experience. And this model of summer school is something that in Europe is really common. And so during the summer, a lot of universities, when their campus is free, they have free rooms, they organize 2 or 3 weeks sometimes, summer schools. And I've been just, I participated last summer to a similar school in Spain. And now, actually, it was a school on global communication. I went there, I just gave a lecture. It was supposed to be 1 hour, it ended up being 3 hours. And then after they contacted me and they said, you know what, we figured out that's a really interesting topic. We are thinking about having an entire summer school focused on that. And that's maybe it's going to happen next summer. It depends on how they're working on the program. But just to give a sense of how much interest there is around in that, and how much ICANN actually can be of help, because there is no, I mean, that we like it or not, we are now under the spotlight under many sense.
So. Yeah. No, I agree. There is a growing demand, and it's actually a very good point you make, Andrea, about youth and them trying to find new industries or growing industries, and the internet offering much more opportunities than the conventional jobs that, you know, they were originally planning to train in. You bring up a very interesting point about cost and how much it costs the European Union to translate. And I always ask our community members who, in theory, we would love to translate everything in every language, but the community really needs to look at that in terms of there is a certain amount of money. It's not infinite, obviously. And where do we place this money? Where's the best allocation of this money in order to help the community develop. And so, you know, do you take it away from language services and put it in education? Do you take it from education and put it back into language services? This really depends on the region, as we've been seeing. We understand that the expectations are very high of us, but we do operate in realities, and, you know, one of the reality is the budget reality. I'm conscious of time. I'd like to hear a little bit more from our African colleagues as well as our Asian colleagues, and then I'd like to open it up for a discussion. So, Yovi, would you like to share your experience quickly with us?
Thank you, Nora. My name is Yovi Atoum. I'm here with Pierre Dandino, who is the Vice President for Africa, and I'm the Stakeholder Engagement and Operation Manager. So he's currently in another meeting, so maybe he could be joining before we close. Talking about Africa, we are the first region with the strategic development. As my colleague from the other region said, this is something developed by the community, not from by ICANN, but by the community. And the implementation started in 2010. So we have some project, many activities area under this strategy, but I'm not going to talk about that because we have a session today at 11:15 where we are going to talk in detail about the achievement and the challenges. I just want to make a link between what the region, the implementation of the strategy and the PRD department, especially the language service area, that is very important. What we realize through our activities, the outreach activities, the participation within the region is the language barrier. So if I take the area especially of delegation of CCTLD, this is an area in Africa where we have many countries waiting for this delegation. And in some countries, they don't know how to do it. Even the resources are there, the information are there. The language barrier is very important, as currently, if you go to the IANA area, most of the documents are in English. We find the collaboration with the DPRD very important, as it's an opportunity to see what important document, what need to be translated quickly. And this is why we find our work within the group, language focus group, very, very important. That can really help us to move fast and then to solve some issues within the region. So when we do outreach, most of the time we are trying, because we have a team where we can also speak French, which is another language in the region. But when you make your summary, sometimes people need to go back to the document to have more information. So this is why we find that this work with the department is very, very important, and then we need to move fast so that we have more engagement from people. In area of education also, as we are working with many stakeholders in the region, the university is a target, and then with Carnegie Mellon University, we think that something can be concrete in the next days with ICANN. So we find very, very important. And when we talk about the summer school, the idea for the region is that we are trying to have something, especially for the universities, and the participants are from the university. So we find that this will be a way for us to spread the word very quickly within the academia. Also, youth are very important group in the region for us, and then this is why we are trying every day to have them involved in ICANN activities, and we are participating in labs where we have some labs on the continent, and what we are trying to do is to have them understand what ICANN is doing, so that within this community we can have more participation, because many things can be done through the youth in the region. So this is what I want to share briefly, because talking about the strategy itself, we have a session at 11:15, and because of time, I will just stop there to answer some questions related to the region. Thank you.
Thank you, Ovi. Africa, an extremely important area for us, and frankly, we've seen tangible results in just the past year, thanks to your team's engagement and also leveraging the existing services at ICANN in order to reach the community a little bit better. Now, last but not least, Kelvin, who is our ambassador in Asia, he actually has public responsibility in his title, so he's head of outreach and public responsibility for Asia Pacific. Kelvin was responsible, or thanks to Kelvin, for the birth of the next gen concept, which he worked on with one of our ICANN partners, .Asia. Kelvin, can you share some of your experiences with us?
Sure. Thank you, Nora. Hi, everyone. This is Kelvin Wong. Actually, the credit goes to .Asia. They're the ones who really came up with the program and they approached us, and we decided to work together and gave birth to essentially a next generation program. Okay. I have to agree with you also on the what you mentioned about cost. So that's a very big concern for us because money is finite, resources are finite, and so we've come up with this localization toolkit. Localization program that it's a collaboration with KISA of Korea. Essentially, we come up with some main themes for ICANN, and also like what Tariq mentioned, DNS is our bread and butter. So we have topics of DNS like who is and what have you, universal acceptance, for example, and all these topics we have them up on the net, and we are working with the community to try to translate and localize them for presentation in their own regions. Look at this as sort of a responsibility sharing mechanism where we put it out to the community to help us reach out to more people within the community. So this is something they're working on. I'm mindful of time, so I'm rushing a bit. I apologize for that in advance. So the other engagement they're working on is actually engagement in general with the next generation of people within the region. For example, I had the privilege to actually talk to a lot of youths within the Philippine and Manila region. This literally sent busloads of college students to a convention center. I got a chance to talk to 3,000-4,000 people, next generation youths, about what ICANN is and how you can engage in ICANN. So it was an amazing experience for me, and thanks to Nora's team as well as the comms team within ICANN for coming up with the slides and the materials. And these, we are sharing it with the region as well. I think Daniel Fink is I'm working with him also to so that he can have more materials to reach out to the region. So that's great collaboration. And on capacity building and education at the APAC region, we have come up with an Asia Pacific Internet Leadership Program, the first of its kind, the pilot in during Delhi Asia Pacific Regional IGF, which was held in August, just 2 months ago. So this APILP, which is the leadership program, aims to work with the community to think about the agenda that's important to the community. So it's with a focus on internet governance. So we have people from around the region, actually. India, Japan, Singapore, leaders to come and talk to students and to participants of the APRGF on internet governance issue. So this is a pilot run that we are doing, and we hope to be able to extend this to future years and to have future runs of this program. So for people out there who want to learn more about the program, you can feel free to approach me. And we have also recorded this program. I'm working with Jeff to make them available online, so you can check them out at our website. It's actually on YouTube as well. Well, that's about all that I have. Well, feel free to contact me, approach me for more information about what we are doing for the APAC region. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelvin. And as always, your help and the support of your region is very much appreciated. I'm going to ask Janice to tell us a little bit about her newcomers and fellowship program, her experience with NextGen, and really to, I think she's going to ask of you also to make sure that you always remember her in your regions when you're identifying, you know, intelligent, promising youth that are interested in participating in ICANN. Janice.
I think that sounds grand. Janice Dumoulin, working with ICANN since 2007 with the fellowship program and the newcomer programs, collaborating all those years with the global stakeholder engagement team and all of our regional teams. Our goal with the newcomer program is simply to, in a very efficient and effective way, bring newcomers up to speed on the basics of ICANN. So our goal is to make them feel within a day and then within a week of being in an ICANN meeting that they are included in the community. They know where to find the resources once they leave an ICANN meeting to remain committed and included in the community. And they have a link to us and a bond that's formed during that week. Part of that bond is formed with the fellowship program. We encourage our newcomers to join the fellowship program, which runs throughout the ICANN week. It is a way to engage with each one of the chairs of the community groups within the multi-stakeholder model of ICANN. Each of our community leaders spends a half an hour each morning of the ICANN meeting week with our fellows and the newcomers that join us. It's a quick explanation of their role in the multi-stakeholder model and how the different sectors that these individuals belong to can engage in these different community groups. To back up just a moment, in order to be part of the fellowship program, you do need to be in a developing nation. You need to, in the developing nation, we use the list, two UN lists for the small island developing nations and the World Economic Bank. So it is a bit of a fluid list at times, depending on what's happening in that country, and we stay updated with that as much as possible. The applications go out about 6 months in advance. The application for Los Angeles had 257 applicants. Of that, we chose 50 qualified candidates from 38 countries. And we had the opportunity then to engage them in the ICANN meeting. They then become ambassadors of sorts for us as they go back out to the regions and go back out to their sectors and back out to their communities to share what they learned while here at the ICANN week. Our alumni program is over 1,000 strong. We are currently collecting data on exactly where the alumni have landed in the ICANN community and even in the larger internet governance community. So we'll be getting those statistics out and published as part of the development and public responsibility information you'll be seeing soon.
Thank you, Janice. I think one of the most important programs at ICANN that Janice has been running very successfully for the past few years. Again, I call on all the regional representatives to nominate, to help Janice identify the right people for the fellowship program. I think I'd like to open the floor for a discussion. We have 15 minutes left. Okay.
Thank you very much. I'm Nigel Casimir from the Caribbean Telecommunications Union, which is an intergovernmental organization in the Caribbean. So we are in the LAC region. I'm going to make two comments. One was to respond to what Rodrigo said about the region being, you know, only about 1% English speaking. That's one perspective. But there's another perspective in that. In the region, we probably have 30-something countries in total. And in the CTU, we have 15 independent English-speaking countries in the Caribbean. So when you look at it from the point of view of countries, you'll find that the percentage is a lot more than 1%, and in fact, is, you know, it's closer to 50%. So that's something that impacts on your engagement with the region. And the CTU has been there working with ICANN to coordinate the outreach and the internet governance work in the Caribbean, and we are continuing to do so. The second thing I want to mention is that we talk about identifying the next generation and so on, and we are very much concerned about that as well in the Caribbean. And it has been mentioned that there is an issue of participation in the processes from among the developing countries. And the CTU has some ideas and proposals in terms of how we can enhance that, certainly in the Caribbean region that in which we work. And there has been some communication between the CTU Secretary General and the CEO of ICANN, and in fact, Rodrigo is also aware of this, where we want, you know, we are proposing an approach that we would want to get ICANN support for. So we'll continue to pursue that. I'd also like to, in that vein, where you talk about cooperation with third parties, if you could clarify what are some of the modalities in which you have done collaborations, such that it could guide us in terms of what we ask for. Thank you.
Rodrigo, to comment on the first two points, and then I can tackle the third.
Thank you. Nora, thank you, Nigel, very much for your comments. And actually, yes, of course, we do acknowledge that the Caribbean is a strategic area for ICANN engagement. And the issue of the language is because most of the information that is produced in ICANN comes in English, so this is pretty much straightforward for the 28 countries that are in the Caribbean already. They don't need to have this. So this is why we have the focus in other languages of the region, like Portuguese or Spanish. But nevertheless, it's important to mention that we have Albert Daniels, and he's taking care of the Caribbean region. He's the manager for stakeholder engagement. He's based in St. Lucia, and he's a native English speaker, because the issue there is not only... And Albert is just here. So this is to the first question. The other is we do have also an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding, which we signed last December with the Caribbean Telecommunications Union, in which we are collaborating in various fronts, including this new one that we are now exploring. And during this week, we're going to meet with Fadi and Nigel to discuss this further. And now to you.
Thank you. About the criteria or the parameters of collaboration with third parties. From a DPRD perspective, you saw our focus areas, the four focus areas. We have developed a set of criteria or a checklist for whenever we get a request for collaboration or a proposal that we go over. And it's very logical, basic needs that, you know, it has to be within the remit of ICANN, it has to be within the areas of concentration of the department. We are, however, extremely open to suggestions depending on the needs of the region. And so, if, like you had suggested earlier, if you had identified remedies for engaging more youth in your region, then we are very open to discussing those with you and seeing what we can, how we can adapt our programs to them. Any other comments?
Hi, my name is Ben Town, and I'm from the NextGen program. And on behalf of myself and the other students in the program, I'd like to say thank you very much for the great program that you are putting on for us and inviting us to the meeting. I'm also from Carnegie Mellon University in Pennsylvania, and we have a research project there that has spun off into a startup company with the explicit and rather ambitious goal of translating the web into all the major languages. And that's done through a crowdsourced community of language learners. And the translation service is provided for free for Creative Commons licensed content and things like that. I've noticed that a lot of the content on ICANN is copyright ICANN, all rights reserved, and I was wondering if there were particular reasons behind the decision to kind of keep that more under wraps rather than making it accessible to a resource like that. Thanks.
So I first of all invite you to join us this afternoon, because the focus group that we've set up a few months back was really to look at the ICANN website, the types of documents that go on it and what needs to be translated and what shouldn't be translated, as well as translation methods. Many of the documents on the ICANN website have a legal nature. And so automatically you kind of have to protect that content one way or another. The second is that, at least from an ICANN perspective, if we were to crowdsource, then the quality would vary per language. Also, commitment would vary, and so we cannot really rely on crowdsourcing for the ICANN website. However, if some of the content on the ICANN website is of use to, you know, externally, and some people want to crowdsource that translation for use outside of the ICANN website, then this is something that we really don't have an issue with. Definitely I'd like to hear more about that project, but I urge you to come and join us later, because I think you'll get some insight about different translation methods and how some are better than others in different contexts. Very quick word to our next generals as well. I am extremely pleased that this is a program that's successful. It's always very nice to see these young people interested. And also, I'm always very impressed at how much they already know versus a different generation, an older generation that doesn't have the same background on internet. I guess this is you grew up with this, you've known this much longer than we have. And so welcome again to ICANN. I hope this is not the last time you'll participate with us. Any other questions? From remote? Oh, great. Well, thanks for the 21 participants online. I hope this was interesting enough to keep them connected for the hour. On the screen, you can see our infographic, very popular infographic, it seems, and we called it "What's in It for Me" because it really explains what how ICANN helps different stakeholder groups participate better. I'd like to say a couple of words in closing for this session. Again, I go back to why we have the DPRD. One of the main reasons we have the DPRD is to serve the community better. And so our first job is really to listen to the community. They identify their needs. They have in the regional strategies. On a yearly basis, we reassess if we are still answering the same needs or if the needs have evolved or changed. The second reason why we do DPRD is to really streamline and formalize the public responsibility efforts that ICANN already does. We do that so we stop duplicating efforts. So as Kelvin shared with you, a lot of the effort that he put into presentations for youth in Asia is now being utilized by somebody in Latin America and so on and so forth. Another aspect that is a huge plus from a DPRD standpoint is that by streamlining all of this, these requests and this effort, we are able to get a better sense of the need of the community. In the past, we were doing these efforts in a very different manner. Now we can at least at the end of the year say, Latin America has those needs and Asia has those needs, and this is how we can improve on the service. I will underline again the importance of youth in this process. It's very important to educate them at the least so that they're more informed about how the internet works and how it's governed. And, at best case scenario, so that they can become active participants in the ICANN world or even in the internet ecosystem. So with this, I close and thank you all for participating.